RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello, listener. Welcome to English Bulletin program of a Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesia Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today, listener. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headline. Meet Indonesian Vice President Governor of Aichi Prefectures speaks about increasing cooperation. Indonesia continue to increase trade between border. Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs established ASEAN study. And now the news in detail. Indonesia is one of the countries in the ASEAN region that actively increasing trade between border. The increase of trade can be seen through Indonesia's effort to create its market in neighboring countries, such as Papua New Guinea and Timor Leste. This was conveyed by the head of International Relations Program, Faculty of Social and Political Sciences, Brawijaya University, Aswin Arianto Aziz in his presentation at the ASEAN International Conference in Malang, East Java on Wednesday, August 23rd.
To increase trade borders within their countries. So if you look at the news, then for the first time this year, Merauke is exporting rice to PNG. Yeah, you never see that Merauke is a producer of rice, but now they can export right from Merauke to the next door, PNG. And also, the West Timor, NTT, is trying to build their agriculture as well and targeting Timor Leste as the market. So this is quite good news that now, not only that trying to build the border as well, but also to increase trade.
Aswin Arianto Aziz added that Indonesia's effort to increase inter-border trade becomes a good model for ASEAN countries that have implemented the ASEAN Economic Community since 2016. Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, through the Directorate General of ASEAN Cooperation, is seeking to cooperate in the field of education in order to promote ASEAN to the Indonesian people, one of them by establishing the ASEAN Study Center in various campuses in Indonesia. This was conveyed by Director General of ASEAN Cooperation, Ashariyadi, at the ASEAN International Conference, which is held in Brawijaya University, Malang, East Java, on Wednesday, August 23rd.
As related to ASEAN Study Center, Ministry of Foreign Affairs so far has established its cooperation with 39 universities across Indonesia, creating ASEAN Study Center through a memorandum of understanding on cooperation in the field of education and science research. Our MOU is to provide access for academicians to participate and reap benefit from ASEAN community.
Ashariyadi added that the establishment of the ASEAN Study Center is one of the efforts to create stronger people-to-people relationship among ASEAN community. Indonesia is the powerhouse of democracy and economy in Southeast Asia. That was stated by the chairman of Indonesia Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Kadin Rosan P. Ruslani, in his remark during the roadshow World Food India 2017 at JW Marriott Hotel, Mega Kuningan, Jakarta on Tuesday, 22nd of August. Rosan Ruslani further said, under the leadership of President Joko Widodo, Indonesia had made various economic achievements.
Indonesia is a democratic heavyweight and an economic powerhouse in Southeast Asia and emerged as the political center of the gravity as well. Under the leadership of President Jokowi, Indonesia has launched a series of economic reforms aimed at boosting both direct foreign investment and domestic consumption and raising government spending on ambitious infrastructure agenda. Following the slash of the costly fuel subsidy.
Related to the economic achievement, Kadin Chairman Rosan Ruslani said Indonesia still has to increase its cooperation with partner countries, among many is India, as Indonesia's seventh biggest trade partner. Indonesian Vice President Muhammad Yusuf Kalla on Tuesday in Jakarta received an honorary visit from the governor of Aichi Prefecture, Hidayki Ohmura. During his visit to the Vice President's office, Governor Hidayki was accompanied by a number of economic delegations. The meeting was totally implemented in order to increase cooperation in economy and business field. The Governor Hidayki Ohmura said there are about 5,000 entrepreneurs from Aichi with more than 200 companies in Indonesia. It is also balanced by 5,400 Indonesian citizens in Aichi. Governor Hidayki plans to establish a prefectural representative office in Indonesia as well as the Consulate General's office in Aichi prefectures in January 2018. The plan got a warm welcome from the Vice President and it will be considered immediately. Several things were submitted to the Vice President, firstly related to business. Currently, 240 companies from Aichi prefectures invested here, including in the automotive field such as Toyota and other groups. Considering this condition, 1/3 of the Japanese investment comes from our prefectures, Aichi. Aichi Prefecture Governor Hidayki Ohmura further said he hoped the Indonesian government can open a direct flight route connecting Jakarta and Nagoya. The request, he said, also received a positive response from Vice President Yusuf Kalla and will be followed up by the Minister of Transportation and the National Airline, Garuda Indonesia. Hidayki Ohmura also hoped that Indonesia continues to improve facilities and infrastructure to support the foreign business activities. Indonesia will purchase 11 jet fighters Sukhoi Su-35 from Russia with counter-trade deal. Meanwhile, Russia, a seller state, has pledged to buy Indonesian commodities. The agreement is based on the 2012 defense industry law. It was said by Indonesian Defense Minister Ria Mizard Riyakudu in joint press conference with Indonesia Trade Minister Enggar Tiasto Lukita at the Defense Ministry in Jakarta on Tuesday afternoon, 22nd of August. Ria Mizard said that jet fighters will be sent to Indonesia approximately in 2019.
Jadi pembelian ini sesuai dengan aturan, dengan undang-undang.
The purchase adheres to the law, so the implementation is government to government. It is 50% counter trade and 35% offset, so it becomes 85%. It can help Indonesian export. This is not only import of main weaponry, but also to boost Indonesian export.
This is not only import of main weaponry, but also to boost Indonesian export. Meanwhile, Indonesian Trade Minister Enggar Tiasto Lukita said Indonesia has agreed to involve PT Perusahaan Perdagangan Indonesia, PPI, and Russian government involves Rostec as technical organizers of the counter trade. He also explained that at the agreement, Rostec will purchase export commodities such as rubber, crude palm oil, cacao, textile, tea, shocks, furniture, plastic, and spices. Embassy of India in Indonesia, cooperating with Indonesian Industry Ministry, held roadshow World India Food 2017 at JW Marriott Hotel, Jakarta on Tuesday, 22nd of August. The event, which was also in collaboration with the Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Kadin, and Indonesian Food and Beverage Association, GAPMI, exhibited food and beverage product and business from India. According to expert staff of Indonesian Industry Ministry Dharma Budi, the roadshow World India Food 2017 was held as an effort to boost Indonesian food and beverage industry.
Dalam rangka meningkatkan pertumbuhan industri makanan minuman, Kementerian Perindustrian
to boost food and beverage industry development, the industry ministry, besides playing active role in creating conducive investment climate, also keeps facilitating the promotion of domestic and international food and beverage products. This exhibition is expected to be a platform for food and beverage business people to introduce their products, quality, and brand image, as well as to receive inputs from the customers.
To boost food and beverage industry development, the industry ministry, besides playing active role in creating conducive investment climate, also keeps facilitating the promotion of domestic and international food and beverage product. The exhibition is expected to be a platform for food and beverage business people to introduce their product quality and brand image, as well as to receive input from the customer. Dharma Budi further said India was chosen in this cooperation by considering that India has the sixth biggest food and beverage market globally, so that it has great potential for Indonesian export product. The exhibition was a series of events of the World Food India 2017 to be held in New Delhi on November this year. Besides directly encountering India business people, the Indonesian food and beverage business people who attended the exhibition were also invited to participate in the World Food India 2017. And the last item, Indonesian Young Entrepreneurs Association or HIPMI Chairman Bahlil Lahadalia said he appreciated the government's commitment to infrastructure development while highlighting the need to focus the spending on eastern parts of Indonesia. Bahlil said the government's commitment, highlighted by the increased spending allocated for infrastructure project, could help to create more equitable development in Indonesia, reducing the economic inequality gap in the country. The government proposes to allocate 404 trillion rupiah or 30.25 US dollar for spending on infrastructure next year, up from the 387.7 trillion rupiah that it expects to spend this year. In the budget policy read out to the House of Representatives on August 16, President Joko Widodo reiterated his commitment to focus on infrastructure development in the eastern part of the archipelago, including Maluku, Sulawesi, and Papua. To end the news, here are the main points once again. Meet Indonesian Vice President Governor of Aichi Prefecture speaks about increasing cooperation. Indonesia continue to increase trade between border. Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs establishes ASEAN Study Center on various campuses. And that was our news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with commentary entitled Afghanistan's Long Road to Peace. The United States to increase its troops in Afghanistan. U.S. Defense Secretary James Mattis after a speech by President Donald Trump in Washington on Monday. According to a White House official, President Trump has given the green light for the sending of fast troops to Afghanistan. Mattis immediately ordered Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff to prepare for troop deployment and consult with the NATO Secretary General. Currently, there are more than 8,000 U.S. soldiers and 5,000 NATO troops. They are to provide support and security force against the Taliban and other groups. Even so, the situation in Afghanistan is still safe. There were at least 2,500 police and soldiers killed during the first 2017. Intending to increase the number of troops present in his speech also gave space for a political deal with Taliban. In addition to military, it seems a political settlement with the Taliban in Afghanistan is Trump had previously said the states will support the Afghan government and military against the Taliban that fled for 16 years. The U.S. strategy, according to Tillerson, is more flexible without setting a deadline. President Trump's plans get opposition from the Taliban, who once ruled Afghanistan from 1996 to 2001. In an open letter last week, August 15, the Taliban, in addition to criticizing the U.S., also criticized the Afghan government. The group asked Trump not to increase troops and even to withdraw them from the conflict zone. Earlier this year, the Taliban also issued an open letter calling for the U.S. to end the war in Afghanistan. Prolonged conflicts in Afghanistan that cost money and claim the lives of both soldiers and civilians is hoped to end soon. Meanwhile, President Trump's plan would not immediately end the war. This is because the military offers still more precedence than the options of diplomatic negotiations. Keep in mind, though, the American military in Afghanistan once numbering tens of thousands, yet conflict persists. On the other hand, the Taliban, despite its struggle on its own land, should prioritize negotiations through political channels rather than the military, so that the peace in Afghanistan can materialize. Listener, that was commentary for today. I'm Dinugraha. Thank you for listening.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, it's nice to meet you again in our regular program Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events in the past as recorded in history. We start from an event which occurred on August 23, 1939. Germany and the Soviet Union signed the Non-Aggression Agreement. On August 23, 1939, Germany and the Soviet Union agreed to create the Non-Aggression Pact to not attack each other. The pact was signed by the foreign ministers of the two sides, Joachim von Ribbentrop of the German and Vyacheslav Molotov from the Russian sides. The pact also stipulates that both parties remain neutral in a situation where one party signatory to the pact is attacked and must fight with alien elements. However, Germany violated the non-aggression pact with the launch of Operation Barbarossa on June 21, 1941 and invaded Russia. Let's have a look at an event which occurred on August 23, 1998. The National Mandate Party is established. The National Mandate Party, PAN, is a political party in Indonesia. The principle of this party is a political virtue based on religion and bring blessing to the whole world. PAN was declared in Jakarta on August 23, 1998 by 50 national leaders, including the former chairman of Muhammadiyah, Professor Amin Rais, Gunawan Muhammad, Abdullah Toha, Rizal Ramli, and Professor Emil Salim. PAN aims to uphold and enforce the people's sovereignty, justice, material, and spiritual progress. Party ideals rooted in the religious moral, humanitarian, and pluralism. PAN adheres to the principle of non-sectarian and non-discriminatory. The last item is about an event which occurred on August 23, 1949. Roundtable Conference begins in The Hague, Netherlands. Roundtable Conference is a meeting between the government of the Republic of Indonesia and the Netherlands, held in The Hague, Netherlands, from August 23 to November 2, 1949. The effort to muffle the independence of Indonesia by violence ended in failure. The Netherlands received harsh criticism from the international community. The Netherlands and Indonesia subsequently held several meetings To resolve this problem by diplomacy through Lingkar Jati negotiation, Renville Agreement, the Rum Van Rooyen Agreement, and the Roundtable Conference. As a result of the Roundtable Conference, the Dutch colonial government handed over the sovereignty to the Republic of Indonesian states, except Western Papua. Indonesia wanted all traces of the Dutch East Indies became Indonesian region, while the Netherlands wanted to make Western New Guinea a separate state for the ethnic differences. The conference closed without a decision on this matter. Therefore, Article 2 states that the Western Papua was not part of the handover and that this problem will be resolved within 1 year. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listener, welcome to Voy Green. Today we'll talk about Bengkulu Initiate Sumatran Elephant Corridor at the Seblat Kerinci Landscape. Bengkulu Lampung Natural Resource Conservation Center initiated the formation of Sumatran Elephant Corridors in Kerinci Seblat Landscape Area in North Bengkulu and Mukomuko Regencies, Bengkulu Province. The corridor is important to save the Sumatran elephants from the threat of extinction. This was conveyed by the head of Bengkulu Lampung Natural Resources Conservation Center, Abu Bakar, in Bengkulu during a discussion on the initiation of the formation of the Sumatran Elephant Corridor in the Kerinci Seblat landscape on Monday, August 21, as quoted by Antara News. Abu Bakar explained, the elephant corridor will be formed into an essential ecosystem area. The proposed area of the ecosystem is 29,000 hectares consisting of production forest area, limited production forest, Seblat Natural Park, Kerinci Seblat National Park, and a small area of oil palm plantation and resident settlement. He added that the corridor will be managed by collaborative teams from the government agencies, non-governmental organizations, and universities and communities around the region. On the same occasion, Head of Subdirectorate of Corridor and High Conservation Value Area, Director General of Natural Resources and Ecosystem Conservation of the Ministry of Environment and Forestry, Mirawati Sujono, said that the essential ecosystem area is important for the protection and preservation of Sumatran elephants. Because the facts of the ground, 80% of protected animals stay outside the conservation area. This is the basic of the establishment of the essential ecosystem area. Mirawati moreover said, in the fragmented habitat, the elephant species will be more extinct quickly, because the potential of kinship marriage is higher. This cause genetic function will decline and can accelerate the extinction of elephant species. Meanwhile, coordinator of Akar Network Program, Ali Akbar, said, the involvement of all parties, including private groups that manage plantations around the elephant habitat, is very important. According to Ali Akbar, the key is that all parties, stakeholders, residents, oil palm companies, and others should have mutual commitments. Listener, that was the Voy Green. Here is our news in brief. Indonesia is one of the countries in the ASEAN region that actively increasing trade between border. The increase of trade can be seen through Indonesia's effort to create its market in neighboring countries, such as Papua New Guinea and Timor Leste. Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs through the Directorate General of ASEAN Cooperation is seeking to cooperate in the field of education in order to promote ASEAN to the Indonesian people. Indonesia is the powerhouse of democracy and economy in Southeast Asia. That was stated by the Chairman of Indonesia Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Kadin, Rosan P. Ruslani, in his remark during the Red Show World Food India 2017 at JW Marriott Hotel Mega Kuningan, Jakarta on Tuesday, 22nd of August. Indonesian Vice President Muhammad Yusuf Kalla on Tuesday in Jakarta received an honorary visit from the Governor of Aichi Prefectures Hidaiki Ohmura. Indonesia will purchase 11 jet fighters Sukhoi Su-35 from Russia with counter-trade deal. Meanwhile, Russia as a seller state has pledged to buy Indonesian commodities. Embassy of India in Indonesia cooperating with the Indonesian Industry Ministry held roadshow World India Food 2017 at JW Marriott Hotel Jakarta on Tuesday, 22nd of August. The event, which was also in collaboration with the Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry (KADIN) and Indonesian Food and Beverage Association (GAPMI), exhibited food and beverage product and business from India. And the last item, Indonesian Young Entrepreneurs Association (HIPMI) Chairman Bahlil Lahadalia said he appreciates the government's commitment to infrastructure development while highlighting the need to focus the spending on eastern parts of Indonesia. And that was our news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 95 to 5 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at english.rriworldservice.com. Listener, our next segment is Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's Citizen, we will introduce you to one of destinations in Yogyakarta. Stay tuned. Listeners, tourism is many and varied. Every place is characteristics, such as Timang Beach in Gunung Kidul, which is well known with its cable car. Listeners, Timang Beach has two different characteristics. In the east, there is exotic panorama with beautiful white sand, while in the west, there is an island with big stones, which is Timang Island. Besides playing at the beach and enjoying exotic panorama, there is another thing which tourists must try, namely cable car. While on the cable car, you will see the beauty of the sea is so exotic that make you forget that you are at the height of 9 until 11 meters above sea level. To enjoy cable car, you must pay around 150,000 rupiah per person per one trip. Listeners, you do not have to worry if you do not like a challenge, because you can cross Timang Beach without using a cable car. The tourism destination provides a bridge which connects land with Timang Beach. Besides cable car, Timang Beach also provides another interesting facility, namely viewing posts. The viewing post can become a place to see the exotic panorama of the South Sea and also to take pictures. Listener, if you are in Yogyakarta, please do not forget to visit Timang Beach, which is located at Pedukuhan Danggolo Purwodadi Village, Tepus Subdistrict Gunung Kidul Regency. The distance from Yogyakarta City to the island is around 70 km and takes around 2 hours by using car. You can start from Wonosiri City, then to Baron Beach, to Timang Beach. After that, at Mulo T Junction, you can go to Siung Beach. After that, you look a signboard which give a direction to Timang Beach. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonderful Today featuring Timang Beach in Yogyakarta. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
To speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly, we present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. A lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is hobby, or in English, hobby. Stay tuned. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Hobby. Hobby in English, hobby. Akhir pekan. Akhir pekan, in English, weekend. Suka, suka, in English, to like. Membaca novel, membaca novel, to read the novel. Masak, masak, to cook. Olahraga, olahraga, sport. Menjahit baju, in English, to sew. Kalau, kalau, in English, if. Kamu, kamu, in English, you. Mengerjakan, mengerjakan, in English, to do. Menyanyi, menyanyi, to sing. Main bola, to play football. Mendengarkan, mendengarkan, in English, to hear. Musik klasik, musik klasik, in English, classical music. Nonton film, to watch the movie. Kalau begitu, in English, so. Minggu malam, Sunday night. Dengan senang hati, in English, with my pleasure. Jam berapa, in English, what time? Jam 7 malam, in English, 7 p.m. Menunggu, menunggu, in English, to wait for. Next is a conversation on hobby, or in English, means hobby. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Danu and Lina. Danu. Lina, apa yang suka kamu lakukan di saat akhir pekan? Lina, apa yang suka kamu lakukan di saat akhir pekan? In English, Lina, what are you going to do on the weekend? B. Lina. Aku suka memasak, membaca novel, berolahraga, dan menjahit baju. Aku suka masak, membaca novel, berolahraga, dan menjahit baju. In English, on the weekend, I usually cooking, reading novel, sport, and sewing clothes. Kalau kamu, apa yang kamu kerjakan? Kalau kamu, apa yang kamu kerjakan? In English, how about you? Danu, aku suka menyanyi, main bola, dan mendengarkan musik klasik. Aku suka menyanyi, main bola, dan mendengarkan musik klasik. In English, usually I'm singing, playing football, and listening the classical music. Lina, apa kamu suka menonton film? Apa kamu suka menonton film? In English, do you like watching film? Danu, suka? Suka? In English, yes, I do. Lina, kalau begitu, bagaimana kalau minggu malam kita nonton sama-sama? Kalau begitu, bagaimana kalau minggu malam kita nonton sama-sama? In English, so why don't we go to the movie on Sunday night? Danu, dengan senang hati, jam berapa? Dengan senang hati, jam berapa? In English, my pleasure, at what time? Lina, jam 7 malam. Jam 7 malam. In English, at 7 p.m. Danu, baik, aku tunggu kamu di rumah. Baik, aku tunggu kamu di rumah. In English, all right, I'll wait for you at home. Let's speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Until next week with another topic, sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, we meet again in our regular music corner. In today's segment, we will present you to Bonita Music Group and The Husband. To initiate our meeting, let's listen to the first song entitled Small Miracles.
Give me some love.
here is the song entitled Small Miracles by Bonita and the Husband. Bonita and the Husband was originally formed in 2006 only as a companion of Bonita or the vocalist performance. At that time, the band's personnel were Bonita, vocalist Petrus Brianto Adi, guitarist, and Barata Eli Gulo, the drummer. With the initial formation, Bonita and the husband regularly perform in cafes or music events in Jakarta. Then in 2009, Bonita and the husband was invited to perform in Singapore and successfully received a great welcome from the audience. 1 month after the show in Singapore, Bonita and the husband was completed by Jimmy Tobing in vocal and saxophone position. The arrival of him also inaugurated the formation of Bonita and the Husband in 2009. The name Bonita and the Husband describes the relationship between Bonita and Petrus Brianto Adi, the guitarist. Carrying the genre of pop, folk, and soul, Bonita and the Husband continues to be loved by Indonesian music lovers. Well, listener, before we continue with Bonita and the Husband, here is the following song entitled Do What You Gotta Do.
gotta do.
That was the song Do What You Gotta Do by Bonita and the Husband. In 2014, the band finally released an album entitled Small Miracles. The album contains 12 songs of Bonita and the Husband's composition, with a leading song entitled Small Miracles. With a message of love and arrangement, the song successfully stole the heart of music lovers. Bonita and the Husband released their second album, entitled Rumah, at the end of 2016. According to Bonita, the song Rumah was chosen to be the title of the album because from the beginning it was foreign. The process of Bonita and the Husband work was full of family nuances, so it felt like a house. The album Rumah contains 7 songs with Bromo as its leading song. Alright, listener, this is the end of Music Corner for this edition about Bonita and the Husband. To close the regular Music Corner, here are the last 2 songs of Bonita and the Husband entitled Bromo and Rumah Temanku. Happy listening and see you later in the next Music Corner. Thank you.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Setiap hela nafasku bahagia.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.